It's your Wednesday night conversation. It's more than just the gossip. It's the issues that matter most to you. A closer look at current events, just the tip, special guests, and more. Welcome to Let's Have a Fifi. Arizona's longest-running drag live stream. Hosted by Felicia Fifi Minor and Freddie Prinze Charming. Streaming live on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. Be sure to like, subscribe, and share. Promotional consideration for Let's Have a Fifi provided by Wigs of a Kind, The Burly Barber, Bone and Basil, as well as our patrons at Patreon. Go to patreon.com/letshaveafifi to become a Fifi patron. Virtual tips accepted at paypal.me/letshaveafifi. Welcome to Let's Have a Fifi.
Hello, hello, hello.
Good evening, folks.
Wow. I see two of you. That's good. That's good. Anyway.
Why are there two of me? I'm not even going to ask.
Welcome to Let's Have a Fifi. This is season 9, episode 9. Freddie's back.
I am. I am back. I'll tell you what's going on in a little bit.
And I am Felicia Fifi Minor, and we would like to thank the 14 patrons of our Patreon. That is Allison, Best and Brandon, Casey Starr, Carrie and Corey, Kim, Joan, Jody, Leanne, Nicole, Patricia Mason, Shelley, and Sassy C. Diaz. And if you want to be like Patricia Mason.
And who doesn't? I mean, let's be real.
I mean, who is taking the deeper plunge on Patreon. Yes, 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 yes. So, how was your weekend?
Oh, fuck. Okay, so the reason I wasn't here last week is...
What happened?
I've been staying with my lady friend for about a week now, which anybody that knows me knows that I don't like being a burden. I don't like being an inconvenience, and I just, it's rough. But the reason that I am currently staying with my lady friend, and bless her heart for putting up with my bullshit, is because it was pretty much raining in my bathroom last Wednesday.
Were men coming out?
Pretty much. I wish that would be. I would have preferred that to what was going on. It was a mess. It's been an ongoing issue. There's been multiple leaks, which have been quote unquote fixed multiple times. The ceiling has been repaired and replaced, I think, 3 times now. It's a mess. It's a fucking mess. And you know, so with everything being wet. Now there's mold all over my ceiling. My bedroom carpet was completely drenched. And so, So on Wednesday, I was lucky that my lady friend was actually off that day. So she came over with a bunch of plastic tubs. We put a bunch of stuff in there, got stuff off my carpet, put a bunch of stuff on my bed. So it was off the floor, you know? Mm-hmm. So my condo is basically a disaster at this point. There's tubs in my living room. It's a mess. So now I have to try and schedule with a specialist has to come out, and they're coming out tomorrow because they have to do testing on all my stuff to see if there's any asbestos. And
oh my God.
Right. And they have to test the mold, and they have to do all of this shit. Before the drywall guy can come out and replace the ceiling.
Wait. Has the plumber come out?
The plumber came out. He fixed what was supposed to be fixed before, which fucking HOA. This is, yeah. Okay. So the leak itself has been fixed. However, because things were so wet, it's a mess. So, yeah. After the person comes out tomorrow to do the testing and the assessment, once I get that result, then I can schedule with the drywall dude who can come out and actually replace the fucking ceiling. And then I'm gonna start working on pulling up the carpet because like I'm trying to avoid having as many people in my apartment as possible. And my landlord's like, well, what do you want to do about the carpet? I'm like, honestly, I will just tear this shit up
and get a rug.
Not a problem. All right, I'll get an area rug or something. Like, I don't care. I'm fine with the concrete underneath. I hate carpet anyway. Mm-hmm. Hate carpet. So I'll be tearing up my carpet and like it's a fucking mess. It's just crazy.
So it's like you're having a blast over there.
Oh my God. Well, it's on the one hand it's fun. Like my lady friend's kids, they like me, so I guess that's a plus, right? You know? Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. But like tonight, because she has the kids tonight, I got ready there, drove back to my place. So I'm currently sitting in my place. And then afterwards we'll drive back. Luckily, I'm only 6 minutes away, but it's still kind of chaotic.
That's gross.
Yeah. And my cat, I apologize in advance if my cat is especially needy, because I haven't, like, I've been home to feed and, you know, and take care of the litter boxes and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But I haven't been home for any length of time. So basically, as soon as I sat down, he was like here all in front and like drooling everywhere. So I apologize if he decides to make an appearance this evening and gets a little crazy because I haven't been here. So that's pretty much what's going on there. So on Saturday, Felicia and I drove down to Tucson to do the drag.
We made a trek.
Man, mm-hmm. So Felicia moved to Gilbert. Why? I don't know why the fuck she moved to Gilbert. Because she's now like 45 minutes away from me. And like another, I don't know, 80 minutes away from any fucking freeway. Like it was fucking crazy. So we're driving and I'm like, where the hell is the GPS taking us? Literally took us like to the 87 to like the 387 down to like Riggs Road. We're driving through farmland. And I'm like, so you know what? This is one of these.
It was somewhere never seen before. Seriously, and I was like, what is this?
Crazy. Crazy. Thank you, Shelley. But yeah, so we're driving around and like when we came back up, it was late. It was almost, you know, 1 a.m. And you know, I'm driving through this dark and you know, there's these people that are like driving, putting their brakes on. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, dude. You pull over, you're on your own. I've seen this movie and it's not ending well. Like, no, that's not how that works. Like,
oh, and I was like, we're out here in the desert. He's slowing down. I'm like, nope. Go past him.
I have seen this movie.
I will be the first one to die. That's all.
Mm-mm. Well, I mean, I guess on the plus side, while he's distracted with you, I could potentially get away. So, you know, so I believe on Saturday we ended up raising about $1,500, give or take a little bit, I think. Yes. For uh-huh. the Humane Society of Southern Arizona. So that was really good. However, I will say this.
Yes. Creepy stuff in the desert.
Yeah. Hey, Tony. So I will say this. Saturday helped me realize things that I'm really not comfortable with right now. Mm-hmm. Like really not comfortable with. The top of the list, sharing mm-hmm. microphones with anybody, period. And anybody not wearing a mask.
On period.
Period. it was, yeah, like anybody that saw me, I'm sure they probably thought I was crazy, but anytime I grabbed a microphone, I had a disinfectant wipe in my hand and wiped
Sponsored
that
by me.
Whole damn thing off because I'm not okay with that. Not okay with it at all. I was not okay with entertainers taking their masks or their shields off. Actually, nobody was wearing a mask on stage except Felicia and myself. Everybody else wore face shields. Which do nothing to protect anything. And a lot of people actually took them off when they got on stage.
I wore a face shield thing, but it still was enclosed on my neck. Right.
It came like down and was like around, like it fit around your face.
Whereas like my breath was breathing down on my neck and not out.
That made me super uncomfortable because there's these people that are breathing all over the place on the stage and someone else has to get right up on that stage right after them. And I'm like, oi, yeah, not comfortable with that. Groups of people in relatively small area without masks on, not super comfortable with that either. And these are just things that like, obviously I don't know. I was really hoping that I would come away from the experience and I would be like, oh, well, that really wasn't that bad.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't the case.
So we both were kind of nervous wrecks by the end of it.
Yeah.
For the people that I didn't really, I hugged like one or two people, which
I didn't hug anybody.
I know.
I stayed the fuck away from everyone. I made it very clear. Do not touch me.
But otherwise, I was very on attack, let's say. Because I was like, don't touch me. And a lot of people who came to the show watch our show, obviously, because they didn't like reach out and hug me.
Right.
And there's no offense to, I don't mean anything when I do it. It just is the way it is, I guess. And if you took offense, I didn't mean in any way, but yes. But what I want to say is that I got to a point where I was uncomfortable because there was a point where I was standing watching a performance and I couldn't go anywhere because right. I'm in a huge flamingo suit, which, by the way, is probably going to make an appearance again because that was fabulous. but I was in this flamingo suit, so where was I going to go without right. everybody turning around and looking at right. me instead of the person on stage?
Right.
So that I'm not comfortable with. When the mask is off and you're talking directly to me just because I have one on. I don't know. My brain goes into your germs are going onto my mask.
Right.
Or into my
the whole point of the mask, eyes. Like the masks don't just protect the other person. They also protect you from getting stuff onto you. But you have to
double-edged sword. It is a very double-edged sword. Wear a mask and yes.
Yeah, I was really not okay with a lot of it, and it was kind of disappointing, honestly. I expected more and I expected better, and So let's just say that it's going to be a while before anybody sees me anywhere like that again.
I might have been a little more immune to it because I have been out and about in public and I get tested quite often.
I get tested regularly as well. I just gotten tested about a week and a half ago, but I work from home and like my bubble is very low risk. And when when we were asked to do this, when I talked to my partner about it, because when we merged our bubbles, it was because I was very low risk.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm talking to my partner about it and we're like, okay, so, I was asked to do this, these are what we've said, Felicia and I said that we need to have this, these specific things need to, happen, or we're not going to do it. And we were told that yes, this, these things would happen, and they didn't. So that puts me in a position now with my partner because it's like, well, I assured her that everything was going to be the way that when we agreed to do it, that, we said this, and those things didn't happen. So now because they didn't happen, I've not only put myself at risk, I've also put my partner and her kids at risk. And right now, there's not a whole lot I can do about it because I have to stay with her. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so it's kind of a shitty position to be in. And I really wasn't feeling wonderful. I think it's great that we were able to raise $1,500 for the Humane Society. I think that's amazing. But I'm going to be extraordinarily hesitant to be back on stage anywhere like that again because I'm just not, I can't risk it. I can't risk it,
We'll talk about COVID more later, but right. Somebody was trying to book me for a private, like birthday party or whatever. And I was like, well, as long as such and such is met and yada, 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 and they were fine with it. But it turns out I'm not going to be doing that because the birthday person is now going to be in quarantine.
Funny how that works. So
I'm glad that that happened before the birthday party and not while or after a while I was there.
So I guess on the plus side, dude, seriously, Teddy, trust me, so on the plus side, though, I did have something good happen this week. I actually found a new LGBTQ-owned product. It's called Leather Daddy Skincare. And he's actually out of Albuquerque. He knows
my
He knows my drag kid. And there's a whole line of stuff. There's a body scrub, a shampoo, a body lotion, a body balm, beard oil, stuff like that. And he sent me some samples so I can try some stuff. And so it's Leather Daddy Skin. I don't know if you can see. Yeah.
Put your hand behind it like they do on the YouTube videos.
Oh, there we go. Is that better?
Yeah, it actually is something that's supposed to work. Yeah.
The website is leatherdaddyskin.com. You can also find them on Instagram. But so when I got it, I was kind of excited because the guy who makes it, he's part of the leather community. And for folks that don't know, in the leather community, it's kind of a faux pas to wear things like cologne and deodorant, things like that, especially if you are at a leather event. So the idea behind the skincare was to make something that can still smell good, but is not that overpowering kind of scent, so that, you know, folks that are, you know, particularly in the leather community, are comfortable, you know, using these products. And I was a little unsure at first because I was like, what is it? I was like, it smells interesting. And I wasn't sure, but I used it. Last night I used the shampoo, the body wash, and the lotion, and it got rave reviews. And I used the lotion again today, and it was just like, oh my God, you smell amazing. So it smells better like on the skin than it does like in the bottle kind of thing, but it's really like on the skin is sort of a clean, like leathery sort of smell. It's really nice. So I would highly recommend going to check them out. If you have like a masculine type person in your life and they're looking for some good sort of masculine kind of smelling stuff.
I'm not aware.
Go check that stuff out and support like a small LGBTQ owned business because it's totally worth it. Totally worth it. So yeah. How was your weekend?
Joshua, what's the tea? What's the gig tonight? We haven't gotten there, but we'll get there soon. So there is a part two to our Saturday night. Well, my Saturday night. We did the gig. It was my first gig, first time wearing heels. So A, my body was like, I think in shock. And then B, I was so nervous. I don't think
time wearing pants. So
I was so nervous. Shout out to Jeannie who got me a shot of but I was a mess for like the first 20 minutes of the show because I was like I can't breathe because this is the first time I performed and I have something over my face. And B, I was like, I don't know how this is going over, or like my mind was like in so many places at one time. And I was, cause I perform, we both do, like by interacting with people.
Right.
And so not to, I did touch dollars, but I sanitized my hands right after. Other than that, I was still kind of, my mind was like second guessing everything I did. It was like, did you do that? Okay. Did you sanitize your hands when you got back upstairs?
Right.
Okay. You did that. Okay. When you go back downstairs, don't touch the railing. It was weird. What I will say is, maybe I will perform when everything gets better, but really what made the event kind of iffy was how everybody else handled the mask wearing, the keep your distance, but not to say that these are bad people. I'm just saying that that was the thing that made me uncomfortable. And I don't think I've gotten to a point where I don't know where the etiquette is. Excuse me. I don't know where.
Yes, Josh. Second guessing, like being at a national pageant in a pandemic.
Yes. Ooh, that's kind of what it felt like. It was like, oh my God, so mm-hmm. overwhelmed. And can I collapse now? Because it was more of a nerve shot for me. And no shade, no tea, just I don't think I was as mentally prepared as I had hyped myself up to be. So, that was very interesting. But part two, by the time we had gotten home from our 6-hour tour, I thought I had put my phone in my bag because it made like a thud, but it didn't. Nope. So when I get inside, I'm like looking for my phone, and my watch says that my phone is disconnected. I'm like, that is what happened. What happened? So thank God for technology. I get on my laptop and I'm like looking for my phone, and it's going on the freeway. I'm like, oh. And so I'm like, oh goodness. And so I send Freddie a message. And of course, he doesn't get it until like he's home. So I'm like, oh, well, I guess I'll go get it tomorrow. But I had to go get my phone on Sunday. So Freddie saw me twice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mind you, and it's like 45 minutes from her place to my place.
Yeah. So. And then we drove back all the way to this side of town to go to Costco, which my nerves were already shot from Saturday night. So people are very strange and unusual, and they do this.
No.
And I'm like, let me go ahead and move my basket. You nasty. The mask stays on. You could talk louder. Talk louder.
Right. Pulling your mask down to talk completely defeats the purpose.
And
completely fucking defeats the purpose.
And we are in need of toilet paper because we have two ladies that live here. And so we're out of toilet. Well, we have one that we got at Walgreens, but we're out of toilet paper because that will probably last, a week? I don't know. And I couldn't believe it. I totally, just because people heard the numbers were surging and going up, the toilet paper is the first thing to go. I don't understand. Somebody tell me, what is the deal with the toilet? I mean, why is it the first thing to go? Next, it's going to be cleaning supplies. I better have enough cleaning supplies.
Right.
Because that's the next thing that's going to be going, because they'll be like, oh, well, we need all the cleaning supplies we can get.
I just need to make sure I have dish soap because I'm not doing fucking dishes.
I've been to some of y'all's houses. I know. Mm. I know you ain't cleaning it. Mm. Mm-hmm. Also, this came yesterday. It is quite heavy, too.
Oh, Jesus, it's huge.
Yeah, I thought, so when you look online, it looks fairly thin.
Looks good. But
when you get, I was like, what is this?
Usually it's the other way around. Things look really big, and then you get them, and then it's like, oh.
I mean, he did not disappoint.
Mm.
This will be my next venture. I'm reading a book now. See, my thing is, do I stop reading what I'm reading and then read this and then go back to it?
Just do what I do and read multiple books at the same time.
I don't know if I can do that because I always forget one of the books, and then I like months later, I'm like, oh, I was reading that too. So I'm looking forward to reading A Promised Land by Barack Obama, President Barack Obama. Mm. He didn't put that on the book, but I always say it. Because somebody's throwing a tantrum in the White House.
Teddy Michael says, you got the large princess. It's the abridged version. It's the abridged version. It's actually got illustrations and very small words.
Look how small the print is. Oh, wait.
Oh, Jesus.
All right. So, oh my gosh. Come and get me later. I'll be reading Barack's book. Be here for a minute. Also, what I want to let peeps know is that we're going to start selling the shirts again, the Let's Have a Fifi shirts, as well as, oh, I should get a shirt too. Without my hair on it. It won't have my hair on it, I promise. As well as a mask.
The masks are super comfortable. Like, my mask is my favorite mask, honestly.
It's super stretchy. It's over.
It's really comfortable. Really comfortable. Mm-hmm. So let us know if you guys want a mask or a t-shirt. Hit us up. We will wait until we have a good number of orders, mm-hmm, before we place that order with Kat. So, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. All right. So, for my tip tonight, for those of you that aren't aware, this week is Transgender Awareness Week. Friday is Transgender Day of Remembrance. So my tip tonight, I'm actually combining it with our Real American History, which is sponsored by the Trump administration.
What are we going to do when he's out of office?
I don't know. I'm going to figure it out. What I'm going to talk about tonight a little bit is some history of trans and gender expansive folks in early U.S. history. So we're talking prior to 1900s, or very early 1900s and earlier. Because, you know,
the everybody olden wants days.
To. Oh, Jesus. So, you know, everybody wants to kind of act like, you know, trans people are like this new fad, like it's trendy, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no. See, we've been around for a really long time. In the States, there's been documentation since around the 1600s that trans people have existed. One of the very first, as far as trans folks, Thomas or Thomasine, they went by either or. Hall was a servant in 1620 who alternated between men and women's clothing. There's a possibility that they were intersex because at one point they were actually ordered by a Virginia court to wear both men's breeches and a women's apron and cap at the same time.
What?
Yep. So that, just based on that, there's a good chance that they were probably intersex, and that's, you know, in 1776, the Public Universal Friend. And yes, that was their name, the Public Universal Friend.
Say what now?
The Public Universal Friend, that was their name. They were an American preacher. They claimed, they were born to Quaker parents, which was kind of interesting. But they claimed they were neither male nor female, and for 40 years asked never to be referred to by their birth name or by gendered pronouns. So there's a potential non-binary individual right there that, or agender, that was like, no, I'm neither gender. So you don't use gendered anything with me. Wow. Joseph Lobdell was born in 1829 as Lucy Ann Lobdell, lived as a man for 60 years. Before he was arrested and put in an insane asylum because of it, but he was able to marry a woman. So we have these, like, U.S. is kind of strange when it comes to these things. He's thrown in the loony bin, but he was able to marry a woman. Go figure.
You're crazy, but you can marry a woman.
Right. Okay. Mary Jones was born in 1803 as Peter Sewally. She was a free African-American. And she was arrested in New York City in 1836 for dressing as a woman, prostitution, and pickpocketing. According to a contemporary report in the New York World, Jones appeared in court attired a la mode de New York, elegantly and in perfect style. Her or his dingy ears were decked with a pair of snow-white earrings. His head, now mind you, the pronouns are flipping back and forth here, but this is a direct quote from the publication. His head was ornamented with a wig of beautiful curly locks, and on it was a gilded comb, which was half hid amongst a luxuriant crop of wool.
Well, when asked the about, fact that they when, gave so much credit to the do and what they were right? wearing?
When asked about the dress, Jones replied, "I have been in the practice of waiting upon girls of ill fame, and they induced me to dress in women's clothes, saying I looked much better in them, and have always attended parties among the people of my own color dressed this way. And in New Orleans, I am always dressed in this way."
Oh, go on, sis.
Right?
Oh, yes. Like, she's
sort of a fashion icon in her own right there. It's kind of interesting.
Oh, wow.
Now, during the Civil War, there were at least 250 assigned female at birth individuals who fought as male soldiers.
Like a Mulan type situation?
Some of them were just women who just wanted to fight, but they weren't allowed to because they were women. And some were trans. And one of the most famous trans individuals that did fight during the Civil War was Albert Cashier. You find his name pop up in history books. Not so much history books, but history information, because you're not really going to find him in actual history books because, you know, trans people didn't
exist. I was going to say, I didn't see that in my history.
No, because trans people didn't exist. We didn't exist until like 5 years ago.
Welcome.
Yeah. So after the war, Frances Thompson, who was formerly an enslaved Black trans woman, was one of five Black women who testified before Congress's investigation of the Memphis riots of 1866, during which a mob of white terrorists attacked and raped Thompson. 10 years later, Thompson was arrested for being a man dressed in women's clothing. Interesting. Well, yeah, because it was illegal. Just like even in recent history, like at Stonewall and things like that, in that era, you had to have on, like women had to have on, I think it was like three pieces of female clothing if they were out and about, if they were in public. Men had to do the same thing. You had to have on at least three pieces of male clothing if you were out and about in public.
So if you said, "Let me go to the store real quick, I don't want to put on all these clothes," you can get in trouble.
Yeah, absolutely. It was illegal. You could not, quote unquote, cross dress.
God, I'm barely dressed when I go to the store. Goodness gracious.
Let's see. Jenny June was born in 1874 as Earl Lind. She was a member of the Cercle Hermaphroditos and wrote the autobiography in 1918 and the Female Impersonators in 1922. They were memoirs that provided a rare first person testimony about the early 20th century life of a transgender person. The words transsexual and transgender hadn't been coined yet. And June described herself as a quote unquote fairy or androgynine, an individual, she said, with male genitals, but whose physical constitution and sexual life approached the female type.
Okay, go ahead.
I thought that was an interesting way to,
That's interesting, right?
Because there's, if you don't have a word, you come up with something that works for you, right? So she called herself a fairy, and an androgynine, and with, you know, she acknowledged her male genitals, but, you know, her physical constitution and sexual life approached the female type. So that's interesting.
Hashtag gender queen.
Murray Hall, not to be confused with Murray Hill, who is a drag king. Murray Hall, who was born in 1841 and died 1901, was actually a politician in New York City for almost 25 years. After Hall's death, very much so. After Hall's death, it was discovered that he had been assigned female at birth. Hall had been married twice and had an adopted daughter. Although his most recent wife had predeceased him, his daughter was described as terribly shocked. And she said she'd always believed her foster father was a man and never heard her foster mother say anything that would lead her to suspect otherwise.
Okay, whoa. Oh my God. What? But how? Okay, so all the trouble of today, people cannot go around as easy, or how did that happen with like paperwork and things? Like how?
Okay, so I would actually say, I would venture to say that it was actually easier back then, because you didn't have the internet, you didn't have cell phones, you didn't have like people being able to dig through and find shit as easy as you can today. So if I'm gonna, if I want to reinvent myself back in the late 1800s, if I throw on some men's clothing and tell everybody I'm a man, how are you gonna know any different? Depending on the era, oftentimes facial hair was not in style for men. So if you couldn't grow facial hair, you didn't have to worry about it because it wasn't the style anyway.
Oh,
you know. In 1917, Dr. Alan L. Hart, while working with psychiatrist Dr. Joshua Gilbert, was the first documented trans man in the United States to undergo a hysterectomy and a gonadectomy in order to live his life as a man.
Wow.
So he was the first documented trans man to actually undergo basically any sort of gender reassignment surgery. So
successfully.
Yeah.
Wow. But we're still dealing with that? What, why haven't we perfected this yet?
There is a transgender man in Arizona in the early 1900s. I was trying to find the name and I couldn't find it and it escaped me, but I know he exists. Let's see. Trans woman Lucy Hicks Anderson was born in 1886 in Waddy, Kentucky. She served as a domestic worker in her teen years, eventually becoming a socialite and madam in Oxnard, California during the 1920s and 30s. In 1945, she was tried in Ventura County for perjury and fraud for receiving spousal allotments from the military, as her dressing and presenting as a woman was considered masquerading. She lost the case but avoided a lengthy jail sentence, only to be tried again by the federal government shortly thereafter. She also lost this case, was sentenced to jail time along with then her then husband, Reuben Anderson. After serving their sentences, they relocated to Los Angeles, where they lived quietly until her death until 1954. So her husband, who was in the military, was obviously extending spousal benefits to her. But again, you know, dressing as some, you know, a gender that other than what you were assigned at birth was illegal. So
that's interesting.
And then let's see, the last one, a lot of folks have heard of this, this guy right here. I've actually read a couple of books on him. He's kind of interesting. But Billy Tipton, was born in 1914 as Dorothy Lucille Tipton. He was actually a fairly notable American jazz musician and band leader. He lived as a man in all aspects of his life, from the 1940s until he died. His own son didn't even know that he was trans until his death. So, kind of interesting. But you know, I figure you can't really plan a future unless you acknowledge your past. And you know, there have been so many trans individuals, you know, because we always talk about the folks that, you know, in recent history that have helped pave the way. But you have to look further back than that, because, you know, we didn't just come out of the woodwork, you know, at Stonewall, you know, we didn't just appear out of nowhere in the 60s. You know what I mean? Like, we've been around for hundreds of years, and these are things that need to be acknowledged. It needs to be acknowledged by the LGBTQ community as a whole, you know, because we still get treated like this anomaly, like, oh, it's like, no, honey, we're not new. We're not new. No.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So I highly recommend that folks do some research and look at some of the trans folks from around the world that have, you know, been in headlines and, you know, done stuff, you know.
Nikolai
DeRaylin, that's right. He's the trans individual that was in Arizona back in the 1900s. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, look up some stuff. There's some really interesting things out there. About the
we're the earning trans- the E tonight. We're earning the E, you know, that E I or whatever that pops up on PBS. We're earning that.
Yeah. See, we're educational. PBS After Dark. So since we talked about you know, math and stuff like that, let's take a closer look at some current events, shall we?
Yes. Let's see. I applaud, before saying what the first thing was, I'm going to say this first, but I applaud Joe Biden and Kamala Harris for taking the time to introduce us to the COVID-19 task force that they have in mind. Either you saw it online or you saw it on TV. They had a whole... Their task force is very diverse, let me say that, including women and women of color. So I applaud I don't know what to call it. Is it an elect administration that's coming up?
It's basically it's the folks that he appointed.
Yeah. So and the person that's going to be in charge of like health and safety. We in good hands, y'all. We in good hands. We should have been in good hands the whole time, but you know, I'm not going to say nothing. But since we're talking about the good old Cheeto House,
which I thought this was interesting, actually. I thought when I read this, I was like, oh, really? So,
go ahead.
So the White House COVID-19 Task Force is called the current mitigation efforts in Arizona inadequate. Inadequate. Boop. Hospital admissions are rising rapidly. PPE supplies are starting to run out.
But on the press conference today, if you watched Doug Ducey, he said that we are taking the necessary steps and he's going to put forth $25 million to give bonuses to those that have been on the front lines.
Yeah. And meanwhile, teachers that have had positive students that have been exposed to positive students in the classroom have to continue going to work.
Correct. And he reinforced that today that he is serious about people going to school, kids going to school.
Idiot. He is a fucking moron. And the reporters kept asking him, what are you going to do about this? What's going to, you know, we're going to encourage people to keep wearing masks. Okay. That's super helpful.
Yes, Teddy, we're in good hands with Allstate, with the guy with the deep voice too.
We will be anyway when it comes.
Yeah,
to
we will be January 20th. After January. We got to get past some things. Let's see what else. The pizzeria in Scottsdale. That has been shut down due to COVID-19.
Safety violations. They weren't doing anything they were supposed to be doing. They weren't distancing, nothing. So they've been shut the fuck down.
I think that also they didn't have, you know, those, if you go to restaurants now, they have like a thing that says this space is reserved for your safety or something like that. I don't think they had any
of
that.
No, they didn't. There was no social distancing. There was no distancing at all. They didn't care. They were letting people seat themselves. Like, they were just whatever the fuck. I'm like, so,
Oh, yep. London didn't like that either. See? One thing that's not on here before we go into the next one. I posted on the Let's Have a Fifi page the headline got me immediately because, you know, me and kids are like, and I read COVID kills 4-year-old boy's mom and dad in San Antonio.
Yep.
Immediately thought of all the people that say you're in good health, you're doing fine. It doesn't bother you. It shouldn't bother you. I'm not wearing a mask. Wear yours if you have a problem. Should read this story because the first line says, Raiden Gonzalez will turn 5 years old this month, but his parents won't be there with him.
And you know what? Have you seen the comments on that shit? They had pre-existing conditions, blah, blah, blah.
But that's what I'm saying. That's why you should cover your mouth, because you're going to kill the people that have the pre-existing conditions. And
honestly, anything from asthma to a fucking broken foot can be considered a pre-existing condition, okay? And yeah, sorry. I'm so over the selfishness of people, especially wait till we get into some of these numbers, guys. Wait till we get into these numbers. And then go ahead and keep telling me why it's okay to just fuck all the masks and stuff. Like,
So even in the first couple lines, he says, the grandmother says he misses his mom since he was a mama's boy. And just this morning, he told me he wishes that his mom, he had his mom back, and he just wanted her back.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, what do I tell him? So next time you hear somebody say, it's just a mask, or it's only a health issue if you have a problem with it, because I've read comments like that before. It's not just my problem. It's all of our problem, and we all need to get through it together. So I encourage you to wear masks. I encourage you to do your best to stay away from people. Do it all. What's next?
So Pfizer says that their testing shows that its vaccine is about 95% effective. So they're looking to start rolling that out. However, it probably, any vaccine more than likely will not be available to the public late spring, summer-ish next year. They're going to roll it out first to healthcare workers.
Yes.
And then people with higher risk factors. So folks,
nursing homes.
Right. So elderly, you know, people that already have other health issues and things like that, that could put them at higher risk. So the average person probably won't be able to get any sort of vaccine until later next year. So that being said, get your fucking flu shot, because it'll help.
One thing too that you do need to be made aware of, that I was not aware of until this afternoon, and I had to go find out what the hell she was talking about, because Dr. Christ, which is a deceiving last name.
Doctor.
Anyway, she's been a little more on point than Douchey, so.
No, she hasn't. Even the other day, she was like, we're going to continue to encourage people to wear masks.
I mean, considering. But she said that you have to, if you get the vaccine, you will have to get the same vaccine, because there's two different ones. There's
two different manufacturers, right?
You have to get this. You can't mix them.
Right, right.
Because it could be ineffective.
Right. So if you get the Pfizer vaccine, you have to, because you have to get a booster, which is pretty par for the course when it comes to vaccines like that. Anybody that's ever had a cholera, typhoid, any of those vaccines, if you travel overseas or if you've lived overseas, you have to get one shot and then you have to get the booster a few weeks later. And so with these, you have to make sure if you get the Pfizer vaccine, you have to make sure that your booster is also Pfizer as well. So they have to put things in place to make sure that there's no weird cross things happening. Otherwise they could end up canceling each other out. So,
Do you see what Teddy said?
Yes. CVS just sent out an email about vaccines last week that there may be some available for select groups potentially at the end of the year. A lot of those select groups will probably be the folks that are at a higher risk. So
I want to say cancer survivors are on that list too.
Right. Me personally, until somebody like Dr. Fauci says, oh no, this is good to go, I'm very hesitant with anything that comes out of this administration. Mm-hmm. Very, very hesitant. So.
And there was a discussion about if a employer can make you or make it mandatory that you do it. And I was listening to the radio and they looked it up and there's nothing that holds, because we're a right to work state.
Right.
and your employer can walk up to you and say, you're going to take this vaccine, and if you don't, then you can leave.
Right.
They can do that. So I did see a lot of people saying, yeah, it's 95% effective, but if I don't want to take it, I'm not taking it. Good for you. You may be unemployed.
You're also a selfish prick. We'll just throw that out there.
So I just want you all to know that, A, you cannot mix the two. If you do, it could be ineffective. And you, not that it'll prevent you from getting COVID, but it's just like the flu. You can't prevent you from getting the flu, but it'll make your body more immune and more strong to defending itself.
Oh, anti-vaxxers are going to be, ugh, bleh.
Bleh. They already are.
Right.
If you go to, like, I'm in some of the parent groups. Yeah. Some of them are already, like, up here with it. They're like, I'm not doing that for my kid. I barely get blah, blah. Mm-hmm. They're already doing it. Are already doing it. So it's okay. Let their kids not get it.
Right. At this point, I have very little sympathy for things anymore because I'm tired of seeing people be selfish and then they get sick and then they're like, oh, no. And sorry.
You're like, oh, did you get that flu shot? Oh, you did it? Oh, okay.
In Arizona, let's talk about some numbers because, you know, we're fucking up all over the place again, y'all.
I love numbers.
Again, to put things... Hi, London. My cat is being obnoxious. I'm sorry. So to put things in perspective, remember April 4th was when we hit 2,000 cases and 50 deaths. That's not that long ago. That's less than a year. April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November. 7 months. Seven months ago, 2,000 cases and 50 deaths. By June 21st, we had passed 50,000 cases. Last week, as a reminder, we had 250,633 cases, 6,059 deaths. Yikes. As of today, we have 283,102 cases. That's 33,000 cases more than last week. 6,365 deaths. That's about 300 and some change more deaths than last week. And our positivity rate is currently 12%.
One thing that I want everybody to notice, I can hear him purring a little.
I know.
but
he's also
today they did not go over numbers, and I feel like that's a defense mechanism.
And in Douchey's thing, they did go over numbers.
Oh, well, not quite as. I'm trying to say this gently. Not as in depth. We're like up, like.
Well, every single county in Arizona currently has at least a 10% positivity rate.
Correct.
That's bad, y'all. That's bad.
And when the benchmarks were originally released, that was like a terrifying thing. And we were supposed to like go back into our homes and stay the fuck away from each other. Now they've changed the benchmarks and he doesn't want to lock us down. He doesn't want to say there's a curfew. Meanwhile, other states are putting in place curfews, mandated staying at home. They're
closing schools back down because there's positive cases all
over
schools.
Closed 19 yesterday. Mm-hmm. So,
not us, though. We're not going to do that. Why would we think about doing that? Today, we had 3,200 new cases reported with 53 new deaths. Yesterday, there were 4,105 new cases.
And yesterday marks a year that COVID was, first reported in China.
Oh, speaking of China. Mm-hmm. Did you know that Arizona, just Arizona by itself, has more cases and more deaths than all of mainland China?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, we talked about this on the way to Tucson. Mm-hmm. So the discussion that I saw on the radio and on Twitter was that in Japan, if you look up the numbers for Japan, it is no more than 2,000 deaths have happened in Japan. Meanwhile, we as a people are afraid to wear a mask and keep spreading it. But we talked about this on the way to Tucson, how Asian culture is more acclimated to putting on masks. When you have a cold, when you have like a sinus infection, you cover your face so that you don't give it to other people.
Because it's kind of fucking courtesy.
Yeah. And I was saying that maybe after this is all over, if I don't feel well, I will wear a mask because, you know, we'll go back to being normal and, you know, you taking off a sick day for a sniffly nose will be like it was before. So I will wear a mask and people will be alerted to know that I don't feel well and I'm protecting you.
Yeah.
So, and it's just like I learned from an Asian woman to protect myself from the sun by carrying an umbrella.
Yeah.
So,
nationally, we are up to 11.4 million cases and 248,000 deaths.
Look at us winning.
Go us.
Josh says our schools never opened and we're back in phase two. We are back in phase two. Illinois is holding steady at 12.5.
Yep.
Please, somebody send an email to the people that keep getting on the radio and saying, hiding in your house will not protect you.
Stupid. Tony over on YouTube says that Eastern culture is more of an us mentality than an I mentality, and that's very true. You know, I know this because I lived there. It's a very different mentality. Very different mentality. Like
less entitled.
When it comes to like Eastern versus Western mentality and things, like what they feel is very much patriotism. They love their country. They want to make sure that their country is good and it stays good. Here it's nationalism and there's a difference. It's we're the best and we're going to trample on anyone that, you know, tries to say that we're otherwise. There's a difference between nationalism and patriotism, and other countries are patriotic. We're nationalistic and there's a big fucking difference. For us, it's all about, no, my civil rights are being infringed upon. Okay, well, you're not bitching when like Circle K tells you to wear a fucking shirt. So shut up.
I will post it on the Fifi page if I can find this again. But somebody acclimated wearing masks to like if somebody was peeing. If I was walking around naked and peeing on you, you would get wet instantly because if you were naked as well, you would get, because you're not protecting yourself. Now, if you wore clothes and I was still naked, you would be a little protected because I'm peeing on your clothes instead of right on you. Meanwhile, if I wore clothes and you wore clothes and I'm peeing, it doesn't get on you at all. I wet my pants.
Right.
So if you look at it like that, point blank, don't pee on other people.
But it doesn't. They don't think about it. They don't care. Shelly says that she keeps getting notices from her kids' school. The kids have tested positive, but reassuring that hers haven't been exposed. My lady friend is a teacher, and you know she has four school-aged kids, and she constantly every day gets an email about another positive case and another positive case and another positive case. And it's blowing my mind because when they have these positive cases, the kids that were exposed get quarantined. The teachers do not. The teachers have to go back to work, even though they've been exposed. They don't get to, oh my God. They don't get to, fucking cat. They don't get to quarantine. They are considered quote unquote essential. So they have to go back to work. And if it's like a preschool where they have like a morning and an afternoon class type of thing, you know, or kindergarten or whatever, where it's split like that, if say it's the morning class and there's a kid in the morning class that has tested positive for COVID, right? That morning class is quarantined.
Correct.
Teacher is not. Then the teacher then goes on to teach the afternoon class.
Oh,
now you have everybody exposed, but it's only the morning class that's going to be quarantined.
That's not the way it's supposed to be.
No, but it's fucked up. I'm like, I would be going to the media about that shit. I would let, it's like, that's, and that's like, somebody needs to be a whistleblower and calling people out, because as soon as the media gets a hold of that shit, that's when schools will start shutting the fuck down again.
Ours is not like that. We encourage that if the teacher is not able to be there, to get a sub and or teach virtually.
Yeah. And Douchey wants everybody to go into the fucking classes because, you know, whatever. I'm like, you motherfucker.
Shelly says the entire volleyball team tested positive last month, and I'm sure they rescheduled the games. That's the part that scares me a little bit. They rescheduled the games.
Right.
And I'm like, but wait.
Right.
Who are you going to?
I know there are at least a couple of districts that are basically canceling sports for the rest of the year. Sports never should have started happening, period.
Well, I was wondering that too, because I wasn't back at work yet, but we had people playing football. We had, you know, just weird stuff. And I was like, I mean, I don't work at a school that has sports, luckily, but that I was like, oh, wait.
Yeah.
It's still getting to teens. So why are we putting the teens with each other?
Right. Well, because Shelly says it's fucked up and teachers have no rights. And that's absolutely true. Fucking Douchey now is, you know, $25 million to put to the, you know, essential workers that are on the front lines in healthcare. But you are literally forcing teachers. They don't even have a fucking choice. It's either do this or lose your job. Like, they're not healthcare workers, and they shouldn't have to be healthcare workers. They shouldn't have to be put at risk. But he is forcing these teachers to be in environments where they are putting themselves at risk. They have students that are testing positive. The teachers still have to go to fucking work. But are they getting paid bonuses for it? No. Do they get hazard pay for it? No. Can they even take time off? No. It's bullshit. It's absolute fucking bullshit. It's, pisses me off. It pisses me off so bad. You have no idea.
As you drank your juice. You drank your juice.
I am.
But I look forward to something being more proactive in the future, instead of, let's catch what's happening. Because I was all for the lockdown and the curfews. And one thing I can say that the governor is kind of on is that there is an extreme side. I have been in a Target or Walmart, whatever it was, where a lady came up and told us, you don't have to wear masks. It was pretty interesting, because it was, I don't know. But then there are those that of us that want it all the way down. I don't know what the answer is, but I do know that the simple answer is that you can wear a mask. And if you know someone that doesn't, you should encourage them to read the article that I just shared with you.
Well, obviously, what is happening now isn't working. So for, you know what I mean? Like, yes, there's two like major extremes, but the thing is that this lenient, well, just go ahead and make sure that you wear a mask. And well, bars, if they want to be open, have to convert to restaurants and serve food. Okay, obviously this shit is not working. There are too many loopholes. There are too many leeways. And I know that there are bars in town that aren't doing things that the way they're supposed to be doing it. There are bars in town that aren't enforcing masks. There are bars in town through all through the fucking lockdown were doing shit that they should not have been doing. But there's no, like, there's no consequences. It's like, wear your mask. It's like, okay, well, now our numbers are going up and there's still nothing. You're still not going to lock shit down. You're not going to get, because last time our lockdown wasn't even really a lockdown. It was a bunch of horse shit. Really. Like, we didn't lock shit down like other states lock shit down. So, like, my cat.
But I do want to shout out one bar in particular that I saw today. Cruising Seventh. Met with their staff yesterday and discussed the numbers, and they decided to close either the is it the whole place or just the showroom?
I'm not sure. I have to I'm not sure. I know. I'd have to I have to oh my god my cat Jesus Christ I have to look. I'm not sure. It's at least the showroom. Honestly, out of all the out of all the bars in Phoenix, I will say that from what I've seen, C7 is one of the few that are doing legitimately like all the things right. They stayed basically completely shut down all through that. For those of you that are going to be listening to this on the podcast, like, you have no idea what's happening right now. My cat is literally walking in front of me, moving my microphone. Like, it's crazy. But C7 legitimately was one of the only bars that I've seen through this whole time that they stayed completely shut down. And when they decided to open, it wasn't just, okay, well, we're going to open now. It was, no, we're only opening, you know, this side. You're only letting this many people in. Like, they are enforcing, you know, masks. They're enforcing all of it. I've seen videos and pictures of other bars with people not having masks on inside. Mm-hmm. And no one's doing a goddamn thing about it. So, yeah, I'm good. Like, I'm good. I don't need to be in a bar. I don't need to be performing in a bar. I'm good. I'm fine.
Teddy says his brother is a collegiate athlete, a football player. His entire Division 1A has pushed their season to the fall, but that may not happen either. I empathize, but at the same time, I'd rather have the athletes be healthy. I'm surprised we're having football. I'm surprised we're having basketball games.
Well, there was a coach that recently died of COVID-19 complications.
Mm-hmm. Here in the Valley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And still people are like, oh, well, I guess whatever. It's fine. So sorry. Cool. Mm-hmm.
And he was in charge of the swim team.
Yeah.
So, and they're not even near each other most of the time. They're in the water. So come on, kids.
Yeah. So anyway, please, guys, please continue to maintain distancing. Please fucking wear your mask. And for performers, face shields don't do shit.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. Ask a healthcare worker. That's why you see a healthcare worker wearing a face shield and a mask, because wearing just a face shield doesn't do shit. You're still putting yourself and others at risk. Be smart and stop doing dumb shit. I'm just saying.
Stop doing dumb shit. Oh, to the spring. Sorry, it says the fall. Sorry. You said the fall. I read the fall. I was gonna say, wow, they're skipping spring and
right. They're just moving all on.
They said, fuck it. See you next year. I do have one thing coming up on Saturday, and I almost forgot about it. I will be reading with the Flagstaff Library, Public Library, on Saturday. For Drag Story Hour
nice.
At 10:30 this time.
Mm.
30 minutes make a strong difference.
It can. That can be a difference between like eyebrows or a hat. Like that's, I get you. Yeah,
I mean, do I take the extra time to put on, you know, a little bit extra? Right, or right. Do I just say, okay, this is what you got. Sorry.
I don't have shit going on right now. I mean, I'm dealing with a whole bunch of shit at home, but as far as drag goes, I don't have anything going on and I'm okay with that right now. I have work is busy. I'm dealing with this whole bathroom issue. So, you know,
that sounds fun for you. Mm. You had a pool in your house for a hot minute.
I did.
Mm. You were that guy that was screaming, open the pool. You should have been like, there's a pool in here now.
Right.
Oh my God. He'll be the first one to be banging on stuff. When they lock things down. Also, can I put a plug in? I'm doing holiday mini sessions with my photography business. If you are interested, you have to come to my house, but you have to wear a mask until your session is up. And you don't be touching me or anything else. But I know that sounds so inviting, but let me know. And
are you available to do like location shoots, like outside at like a, you know, at a park or something for folks that don't want to necessarily come to the house, but they do want like holiday pictures?
Yes, but not as part of this mini session because it's 15 minutes and they're back to back.
I ain't driving down to Gilbert for 15 fucking minutes. Fuck that noise.
I mean, you could stay. Not everybody else could stay. I mean, that sounds really rude now that I said it out loud, but but you know what I mean. Yes. You know.
Yeah.
Let's see. Upcoming guest. Jack will be here. He was here last week. Wasn't really supposed to be, but then I pressured him all throughout the episode. As you, if you missed that, you can catch that. But he'll be here. He'll be here next week. And then I believe the week after is Jeremy Bright of Ripple Phoenix. And that's all I have for right now. I've been kind of...
Did you email the person I told you to email?
You told me to email a bunch of people, but there's a madam that is in the works.
Because you need to email Daniel soon because...
Oh, I will.
My episode is like 2 weeks away.
Oh, well, it'll air by the time he gets on then.
Well, it's because you were supposed to email him weeks ago. Anyway.
Wow. I mean, I could have interviewed him last week, but you wouldn't have been here.
No, that's true. And that wouldn't have worked so well.
Anyway, but let me know if you want t-shirts, masks, or photo sessions. Oh, I'm available. Christ.
Jesus.
And London's obviously available to work on any podcast as a guest.
Free cat.
Don't say that. We will do that, Teddy, virtually.
Yes.
I thought about it already.
Yeah, we need to. That does need to be a thing. I have a new onesie that I need to wear for it. So. Oh God.
Anyway, yes, we'll bring back the onesie party, but it will be virtual. Virtual.
Yes.
We have to practice what we preach.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, you guys. Thank you so much for watching. Remember, wear your mask. Stay distanced, make good choices, and thank you so much for watching. We will find you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Same cat trying to steal the mic.
Promotional consideration for Let's Have a Fifi provided by Wigs of a Kind, The Burly Barber, Bone and Basil, as well as our patrons at Patreon. Go to patreon.com/letshaveafifi to become a Fifi patron. Virtual tips accepted at paypal.me/letshaveafifi. Subscribe to the Let's Have a Fifi podcast. You can listen on your favorite podcatcher. See you next week for your Wednesday night conversation. This has been Let's Have a Fifi. Good night.